But I want to preach tonight out of Psalms chapter 37 on resting in the Lord. As I walked out to my truck just a few minutes ago, I began to consider what it meant to rest in the Lord. You say, haven't you considered it? I'd considered it, but you know, it's easy for me to tell you to rest in the Lord. Just say, well, rest in the Lord. Just do it. It's like saying, have happy thoughts. You know, just when the world's crashing down around you, just have happy thoughts. You know, well, sometimes that's easier said than done. And for me to stand up here and tell you to rest in the Lord is sometimes easier said than done. But I want to look to tonight, and He does tell us to rest in the Lord. He does tell us that in Psalms chapter 37, and we're going to look in that. And we're going to look at how to do that, hopefully. We're going to look at some other things. But how do we rest in the Lord? What does it take? And how can we accomplish that? But the Bible tells us right here in Psalms chapter 37, in verse 1, He said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Lord, I pray you bless this time and help us while we might preach. Give somebody encouragement. Save somebody. And anoint us afresh for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at this scripture right here, we find that the psalmist right here, David, as he writes, there is something that is very repetitive in these first eight verses. And what is very repetitive in these first eight verses is two words that say, "Fret not." And that word "fret" means to rub or to wear away at any substance with friction. And that means when you've got friction, that means the pressure is being put on. It means to gnaw at or to agitate or to disturb. If we look in today's dictionary, you'll find that that word "fret" means to be constantly or visibly worried or to be anxious. And so as David writes right here, as he tells us three different times in verses 1, in verse 7, and verse 8, he says, "Fret not." And in all the things that he says to fret not about, he says, "Trust in the Lord." He says, "And do good." He says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." And then he says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in Him." Now, let me say today quickly and in the short message, if I could, that if you're going to rest in the Lord, then you're going to have to do those things first. I really believe that these are wrote in a order for a reason. That as we trust Him, we can delight in Him. As we trust Him and delight in Him, we'll commit our way unto Him. And when we do those things, then we can rest in Him. So tonight I ask us, how many of us are trusting in Him and delighting in Him? Boy, it was a delight to get a phone call last night at midnight. I mean, most of the time you do what I do, you get a phone call at midnight, it's nothing but bad news. But listen, it was a wonderful, wonderful phone call to get at midnight, and Gunner on the other end saying, I got saved tonight. And boy, that was wonderful. And I'm still rejoicing in that very fact. But as we delight in the Lord and commit our way unto Him, then we can rest in Him. But I want to look at three things that the Lord tells us right here. I believe that we can get from this passage of Scripture. We look, as it says, that first of all, there is a purpose of resting. He says, I want you to rest and wait patiently for Him. And fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. What is the purpose of resting? Because he says to fret not. The purpose of resting is because we have been fretting and that thing has wore away at us. That thing has rubbed on us and it has has just agitated us and gnawed at us. You ever just had anything gnaw at you? I mean, just gnaw at you and would not leave you alone, and it bothered you and worried you, and I mean, it literally wore you out. Can I say tonight that if you're lost, that listen, that sin that is in your heart and the Holy Spirit is just, I mean, He is wearing you out. He is convicting you and bothering you and telling you that you're lost and need to get saved and you have no rest tonight. The worry of eternity, as if you died right now. If you watched the video just a few minutes ago of what Miss Jennifer asked Gunner, said, when you die, where are you going to go? And he said, heaven. Does that worry you? Does heaven, does eternity bother you? You try to just put it out of your mind, but yet it comes slipping back in. It's wiring you out. You know, Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 11, He said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So many people are trying to carry around their burdens and their sins. And listen, the concern of eternity. You know, what really happens to man when he dies? What happens to a woman when he dies? There is an eternity out there, and you are going to meet God. There is a heaven and a hell out there that you're going to spend an eternity in, and you need to know where you're going. Can I tell you that if you'll just come to Christ, He can handle every bit of that for you. Won't you just kneel down right now? Kneel down. You can turn me off and just kneel down and ask Christ to come into your heart, and He'll come into your heart. Just ask Him, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and You died for me and rose again for me. And if You'll listen, I believe that You done that and I want You to save me. If You'll do that, He'll save you right now. The purpose of resting is because we're wore out and we're tired. I think some of you may be wore out and tired tonight. Wore out and tired. Be honest with you, I've already preached this morning. I'm a little wore out and tired. But you may be a little wore out and tired spiritually, mentally, and physically. We've faced this situation that's going on in our world, just not our nation, but our world tonight. And some of you have yet to let it go. So, preacher, are you not worried? Are you not concerned? That's not it tonight. Listen, I'm doing my best to social distance. Ain't that a new terminology? I'm doing my best and that to stay away from people that I don't know and so on and stuff like that, and try to stay away from folk that might have it. But listen, tonight, I'm bound and determined not to worry myself about that. But we need rest. He said, rest in the Lord. Don't fret. Rest. Some of you are fretting. It's wearing away and making you anxious and wearing you out. Tonight, as I thought about fretting, and if you've heard me preach any on this at all, you know that we're going to go look at Hannah. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, you find a lady by the name of Hannah over there. And the Bible tells us that she had no children. She's married to a man by the name of Elkanah. He has another wife named Peninnah. And the Bible says that every year, as they always did, they would go up to Shiloh, up there to where the tabernacle was, to the house of God, and they would worship. And they would go up there, and the Bible said, and her adversary also provoked her sore. Now, talking about Hannah, talking about Peninnah over here, how that she provoked Hannah, and said, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, this thing was out of Hannah's control. The Bible said that the Lord had shut up her womb, but she was fretting. She was worrying. Listen, her adversary made her do that. Can I say that a lot of times, if we'll let the devil live rent-free in our head, he will worry us to death. I mean, we'll worry about the economy, we'll worry about health, we'll worry about what's going on. And again, I'm not saying don't be concerned and have some wisdom about you and have how would you say this, have some counsel about you if you would. But listen, friend, he's still in control. But tonight, some of you are tired. Situations have made you tired. Problems and storms. And you've just been wore out. One thing after another. Sickness can wear you out even when it's not your sickness. Maybe it's the sickness of a family member that you have had to take care of. And it's not only wore you out physically, but it has wore you out mentally, but also spiritually. Many times if we're not careful, and I don't know why it is, but just in the work of the Lord, we'll get wore out. You know, that's why he tells us in Galatians chapter 6, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So he says, let us not be weary in well doing. In other words, he knew that we were going to get tired. He knew that we were going to get weary in the work. But he said, let us not be weary in well doing, because there is a reaping day. Listen, the purpose of resting is because we're tired. The purpose of resting is not only because we're tired. How many of you have ever just been tired? I mean tired. You couldn't go no further. You were tired. I mean, we say, boy, I'm tired, but are we really tired? Sometimes we're just lazy. But are we tired? I mean, there's been a few times that I've just come in from working, and I'll just be honest, where I've come in from working and just laid down and went right to sleep. I was tired. I had worked. I had exerted and put out. But listen, when we worry and we become tired of worry, it keeps our mind running and our heart running. And I mean, we can't get any rest in the Lord. Now, I'm going to deal with that here in just a second. We're tired is the purpose of rest, but it's because we need a refreshing. How many of us need a refreshing? Just need a revival, if you would. Just need to be fresh, need to be made new again. I just need to be freshened up, you know. When the Lord talked about the Sabbath in Exodus chapter 31, he said, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, do you think God was wore out? Do you think God needed a day of resting? But the Bible says right here that he rested and was refreshed. He taught us by example. One, let me say quickly that your body is made to rest. It needs a day of rest. It's not made to work day in and day out, day in and out. Even the Lord had Sabbath years for the land that laid out there. I mean, under the Old Testament economy and the Old Testament law, he wanted the Sabbath days, but he also wanted Sabbath years for the land to rest. And so as he teaches us right here, when he created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see in the actual creation account in Genesis, by the way, you'll find that on the seventh day he rested, and it tells us right here that he was refreshed. You know why we rest? We not only rest because we're tired, but we rest so that we might find a refreshing. When's the last time that you just sat down and just put on a good old hymn and just sat there and listened? When's the last time that you just picked your Bible up and just read it? When's the last time that the Lord just come by and you just prayed and said, Lord, I just need some help. I just want to rest in you and be refreshed. And I tell you what, I need to get refreshed every now and again myself. And say, Lord, I just need you to help me and help come by. And I'm going to deal with that here in a minute too. 2 Samuel chapter 16, King David was on the run from Absalom. Shimei was up there on the top of the hill, and he was cussing at David and throwing rocks at David and kicking dirt and dust at David. And because Shimei was of the house of Saul, and he was telling David, see, God's got you now, and all these things. And David just said, leave him alone. They wanted to go up there and cut his head off, and he said, just leave him alone. And I mean, he had his head cut. And I mean, David was just in a place of wearisome. 2 Samuel said, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary. And they're coming to this certain place. And they come to this place, and the Bible says, and refresh themselves there. You know why they refresh themselves? Because they were weary. They were tired. They were given out. And so they come to a place that where they could refresh themselves. When is the last time that you just got to a place to where you said, you looked up to heaven and you said, Lord, I'm like King David. I'm tired. I feel like I've been running and running and running. And it's just been a battle. It's been a fight. Satan's been after me. You know all these things, Lord. But I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you how wore out I am. I want to tell you that, Lord, that I'm in a mess. I can't do anything on my own. And without you, I'm not going to find any rest. When's the last time you ever just got honest with God? Here was King David, and he came to a place weary, but he found refreshing. I'm going to tell you, honesty is a great policy and a good policy, and you need to be honest not only with yourself but with God. One of the greatest verses in the Bible that ever helped me was over in the book of 2 Corinthians. When it talks about the Apostle Paul, he talks about being in Macedonia. We build these men up in our mind about things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Paul said, I couldn't rest. My flesh couldn't rest. You know, at one time the Apostle Paul talks about how that his spirit couldn't rest. Over in, just back in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, my spirit had no rest. But he said right here, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings. And then he said this statement here, within were fears. You say, well, how did that help you? I look at one of the greatest men of God that there probably ever was in the Apostle Paul. And he said, within me I had fears. I had worries. I had concerns. And I was tired. You know, sometimes you just got to come to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I'm tired. It may be sin that you're having to deal with. That may be why you're tired. You know, he said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto yourselves. Some of you may not be right with the Lord right now. You may not have the yoke on, or you're whittling on the yoke, or you're filing on the yoke, or you're sanding on the yoke, trying to make that yoke fit you instead of you fitting the yoke. And he said, for the child of God, when we put the yoke upon us and we begin to serve Him, then we find rest for our souls. Some of you are trying to go your own way, do your own thing, and you're never going to find rest for your souls. The purpose of rest is because we're tired. Whether it is the world wearing us out, Satan wearing us out, the adversary wearing us out, just like it did for Hannah. Whether it's ourselves doing it. You know, I play mental games all the time and it'll wire me out. And then I have to realize what's going on and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. I need help. And find refreshing. The Bible said right here that the king came weary. He was on the run. He was tired. But he found a refreshing. Can I tell you that when you rest in the Lord, when you just come to Him and say, Lord, now I want you to listen to me. When you come to Him and say, Lord, I want you to handle this. I know you're going to take care of it. You'll find some rest in Him. And just give it to Him. You say, that's easier said than done. I understand that. But give it to Him. That brings me to number two. The purpose of rest is because we're tired and we need a refreshing. But then we run to the person of rest. What did He say right here? He said, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Don't rest in what the world's telling you. Don't rest in what Washington's telling you. Don't rest in what the president or the doctors are telling you. Don't rest in what anybody else is. You rest in what the Lord is and done. Rest comes in a person. Can I say that if you're lost, rest comes in the Lord Jesus Christ? What was it where He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come unto me. Can I tell you, for the saint of God, it's the same way. We just come unto Him. Say, Lord, I can't handle it. How many of you have handled things and handled things and handled things? And then finally, whether it was a message that the preacher preached, a song that you heard, or somebody talked to you, and I mean, finally, you just gave that burden up and give it to Him. Can I tell you that rest is only in Him? You say, preacher, how do you rest in Him? How can I bring my burden to Him and just let it go? Well, that goes back to the very first thing that He said in Psalms 37, where it said, trust in the Lord. You've got to believe the promises of God. You can't have no rest if you can't trust in the Lord. You know, twice He tells us that when He said, commit thy way in the Lord, trust also in Him. That's the second time, and you've got to trust. I've got to trust Him and say, Lord, I'm trusting You to handle this thing. I'll never forget, and most of y'all have heard me tell this story, when me and my wife were having had a need. It was a financial need. Why it's always financial, I don't know, but it's a financial need. And I just remember looking up to heaven off my front porch, and I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I know You've got this, and You're going to take care of it, and I'm not going to worry about it. And you know what? I didn't worry about it. I wasn't concerned with it. I knew that He was going to handle it. He'd take care of it. And you know what? He did take care of it. By that evening, He had done things beyond my control that I couldn't even believe. I put my faith and my trust in Him to handle it. I said, Lord, I'm going to turn loose of it. And You handle it. I believe Your promises that You're going to take care of me. You've saved me. You've kept me. Listen, I'm secure because of You. I mean, we trust Him with our eternal soul. Why can't we trust Him with our life here upon this earth? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you've ever read your Bible, then you ought to know the promises of God. I mean, how that He said, I mean, you read over here in verse 25, where He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, listen, I've been young and I'm old and I've seen all this through my life. I've never seen God forsake anybody, nor seen begging bread, His children. I've never seen that. Promises of God, for all the promises of God in Him, I'm talking about Christ, are yea and in Him, amen, under the glory of God by us. We can believe God's promises. We've got to trust Him. You want rest? Trust Him. Again, it's easier said than done sometimes. I understand that. But He commands us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently, patiently for Him. That means we don't get tore up. We just wait on God. We rest and we wait on God to move. We rest and we wait to see what God's going to do. We rest because of the promises of God, but we rest because of the provision of God. He is a great provider. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I don't want to be one that says flippantly, well, the Lord will take care of it. Especially when it's you. You ever been concerned about a situation and you take your prayer request to somebody and it seems as though they may not care as much as you do. When it ain't them, they may not care as much. I'll be honest with you. I try to have care. I do. I'll be honest with you. I find myself not caring as much as I should sometimes. I think me and you, let me say this tonight. If somebody comes to you and they have a prayer request, man, we ought to have compassion and put ourselves in their shoes and say, boy, what would I want somebody to do if I was in their shoes? What can I do? The provision of God. He is able to provide beyond our wildest dreams. He is able to provide and do more than what mere you can ask or think. That's how we can rest. We rest upon the promises of God. We sing that old song, page 329, Standing on the Promises. But we simply have to trust. I wish there was some magical way, some magical thing that that I could tell you to do, that I could explain to you to do, and snap your fingers, and all of a sudden you're going to trust Him. I want you to understand, if there's anything that I want you to understand tonight, is you're not alone. And what I mean by that is, if you're struggling and not resting, I want you to know I understand that. There's people in this church that would understand what it means not to rest. They understand what turmoil to be built up in your life is about. They understand what it means to be lost and need to get saved and need to get saved. So if you're lost, they understand that and will tell you that you need to come to Christ. But if you're saved tonight, they'll also tell you, and I'll tell you, and the Bible will tell you, and God will tell you that if you'll just trust Him, He'll handle every bit of it. In Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know how He leads you beside still waters? Is because you're willing to follow. Nobody can be led if they're not willing to follow. I can't get beside still waters until I can't lay down in green pastures and be beside still waters if I'm not willing to go. God ain't going to beat us into that. God's not going to beat us into a place of rest. He won't. He don't want you to worry. He don't want you to be concerned. I mean, because that's why He said, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." But He's not going to beat you in subjection and make you serve Him, and He's not going to beat you into following Him either. But you know what? When we'll be the sheep and let Him be the shepherd. You know, the thing about the shepherd is he don't want the sheep to worry. He don't. Ain't that a wonderful thought? Boy, I hadn't thought about that till just right now. The shepherd don't want the sheep to worry. He takes care of them. He sees the problem coming way before the sheep does. He tries to head the problem off way before the sheep ever sees it coming. And in all that, He still tries to lead the sheep to a place to where they will not want, where they'll be fed and listened to, where that they can lay down and be beside still waters, to where it's quiet and peaceful and laying down in green pastures, to where there's plenty to eat. And I listen to the shepherd does not want the sheep to worry tonight. He wants the sheep to look to the shepherd. He wants the sheep to look to Him. He wants us to look to Him. He said, rest in the Lord. And then in verse 3, you know what He said? He restoreth my soul. So when He brings us to that place to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside still waters, then it says, He restoreth my soul. He refreshes us. He does that. The shepherd does that. Rest is in a person. Rest is in the Lord. He said, rest in the Lord. Rest in the provision of God. Rest in the promise of God. Rest in the very fact that He's coming to get us. The return of Christ. Rest in that. Paul talks about, was it in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is. He said, those of you that are troubled, let me get over here. He says, rest with us. He said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, those that have persecuted you, those that have tried you and bothered you, he said, listen, they're going to get what's coming one day. There's a lot of God deniers, Bible deniers out there. They're fools. According to the Bible, they want nothing to do with God. They're despisers of those that are good. That's us that are saved and trying to serve God. They hate you for no reason. Listen, Christ said if they do this thing in a green tree, imagine what they'll do in a dry. In other words, if they hated Christ, they'll hate you. Paul said if you're troubled by them, he said rest with us. There's coming a day when God's going to make it all right. We rest in him. Elijah goes to Mount Carmel. God shows up. Elijah goes up on top of Mount Carmel, prays that it might rain. After it hadn't rained 3.5 years, God shows up and it begins to rain. And the next day, Elijah's on the run from Jezebel. If you'll take your Bible sometime and look at and get you a Bible map, and look at he went from the northernmost part of Israel and he ended up running all the way to the southernmost part. You're talking about a fella that had no rest. After he had seen battle and prayers, battles won and prayers answered. It's amazing. It's amazing how we can trust God on one portion of our life and run to him on one portion of our life, but yet when something else shows up, we can't run to him and rest in him. Shame on us. We rest in him, his provision and his promises. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Number three, the place of rest. You say, well, is the place of rest not the person of rest? Well, it is, but that's not what I'm talking about. The place of rest is you've got to come to that place to where you want to find rest. He said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You've got to say, I'm tired. Just like being lost, you've got to come to the place to where you're lost and realize you're lost and want to get saved, and Christ will save you when you come to him. And it's the same as trying to find rest in him. You've just got to learn to turn loose of it and say, Lord, I want you to have it. You may be in a battle, a storm. You may be fearful. You may be fretting. You know what fixed Hannah? If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, you know what fixed Hannah over here? You know what she finally done? She just finally come to the place of rest. And what I mean by that is she had been weeping and crying and not eating. She was tired, man. I mean, she was tired, beat down, needed a refreshing. And you know what she finally done? She finally just come to the Lord and got to the place to where she said, I need some rest. And I'm going to have to let the Lord handle this. And the Bible said, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. You say, well, she come to the Lord in bitterness of soul and just crying and care. Yes, she did. And that'd be how you need to come tonight. And say, Lord, this thing's so messed up. I mean, I'm worrying and I'm messed up. And the Bible said in verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunk and put away thy wine from thee? Let me stop right here and make a little funny ha-ha. I mean, she's on the altar pouring out her heart unto God, and here comes the man of God, the priest, seeing her mouth moving and thinks she's drunk, and he's over here rebuking her and that for being drunk. Come on. Well, I bet that made her feel good, didn't it? And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." When's the last time you've done that? If you want to find rest, you're going to have to just pour your heart out to the Lord. And say, "Lord, I can't handle this. I can't take care of it. I've tried it too long. I've made a mess of it. I want to be led beside still waters and in green pastures and find a restoration for my soul and a refreshing." She said, "Count not thine handmaid for a daughter Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." And then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, as my church knows where I'm going with this, when she got done, and she got done praying and pouring out her heart to God and was honest with God, and by the way, when she got there to the tabernacle, God already knew about her heart. God already knew what was in her heart. God already knew that she was in bitterness of soul. God already knew that she was a woman of a sorrowful spirit. God already knew those things. But she needed to come and tell him. So when she gets up to leave the tabernacle, the Bible said that her countenance was sad no more. She wasn't carrying a little baby boy, but her countenance was sad no more. She wasn't going to have a baby boy at this present time. She didn't know that, but her countenance was sad no more. As a matter of fact, she went and ate. What had she done? She had begun to rest in the Lord. When we come and pour our heart out to God, we begin to rest in Him. We come to that place where we say, "Lord, I can't handle it, but I know that You can. I'm trusting You," and then do it. Trust Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We pray that this message has been a help to people. It's been an encouragement to people. I pray folk will trust You, will lean on You, look to You. And Lord, that they'll rest in You. Because when they rest, then they find a refreshing and they find a comfort in their heart and a comfort in their soul. Lord, if somebody's lost, listen to this, save them. Somebody's struggling, help them to rest in You and find peace and joy. We love You and we thank You. Bless this video. Save somebody, help somebody for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.